absolutely so excited to have you, Catherine. And the as I mentioned before, the documentary is in theatres now at the moment. You've been having some good feedback from it?
Yeah, we've had having some great feedback from the film. Common feedback is that that people just didn't know this story and it hadn't been told before, so that's really great.
I must admit, when I heard about this, I was actually quite disappointed in myself as well, but I had no idea. So the film's title, Brazen Hussy, it alludes to the term that was common back in the 60s. Can you tell us about the genesis of the term and how the feminist movement took ownership of the term and made it their own?
Yeah, well, it's a term that's quite outdated now. It's the kind of thing that maybe my grandma possibly said to me, but people of a certain age who maybe went to Catholic school will remember being called a brazen hussy by the nuns.
But I must admit, sorry to interrupt you there, when I thought about this term, I thought it's really women who use this against other women.
Yeah, and it often is, isn't it?
Yeah, which surprised me. So how did that become then something that the feminist movement went, okay, we're gonna own this and we're going to take this on?
Well, I found in my research into the second wave women's movement that brazen hussies, along with shameless hussies, was a term that was proudly reclaimed by the movement. There was like a feminist press in San Francisco called Shameless Hussy. There was a feminist jug band in Adelaide called the Shameless Hussies, and a history of the Victorian women's movement called Brazen Hussies. So it was proudly reclaimed, and, you know, certainly if somebody called me a brazen hussy, I'd be quite proud. So
same.
I love that it's not a term that's in use anymore, and pretty much because it doesn't really hold the power that it used to.
So before that sort of change, was it quite insulting to be called a brazen hussy, and what did it refer to?
Well, it's I guess it's referring to two things that are used to silence women, and that is when women are loud and brash or call attention to themselves, and then brazen, and then hussy. I think the etymology of the word hussy actually comes from housewife, but it does imply slutty or so, you know.
It's a sexual innuendo in a negative
form.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And so from your research, did you sort of get a sense of how restrictive it was to be a woman during the 60s?
Definitely. Women couldn't drink in public bars alongside men. Before 1966, they had to leave their jobs in the public service upon marriage. So if you got married, then that you were taken to be resigning from your job. And Mel Thornton, who's in the film, she did a protest in 65 to protest the ban on women in public bars. Mm-hmm. She had actually had a job in the public service and was hiding the fact that she was married until she was so heavily pregnant that she could no longer hide, hide that. So she was really annoyed that she had to leave her job and that her career ended. And so she fought to get rid of that, what was called the marriage bar as well. Women didn't get equal pay, and we still don't get equal pay in a lot of areas, but it was sort of written into the law then. Lots of areas where women just didn't have control over their lives or their bodies. They had to sort of find a man and hope that he succeeded in life, I guess.
I remember even, probably not just as I was coming out of schooling, but I do remember that the Ms. thing with teachers even back then, and that was 20 years after the fact, of course, in New Zealand, so maybe a little bit delayed, but no, actually we're quite ahead. So I know that sense of it being unusual that an unmarried woman was sort of, a married woman was still teaching a bit there for a while as well. I do remember that sense.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I got to my point eventually. So you also speak to Pat O'Shane. She was the first Aboriginal to earn a law degree. She was interesting to speak to. How did she describe her experiences?
Yeah, well, Aunty Pat O'Shane is just an incredible woman and like an Australian hero. First Aboriginal woman to get a law degree, first Aboriginal woman to become a judge, and she was down in Sydney in the 70s and got involved with women's movements, and it was at the time very much a white women's movement. So she pointed out that you know, she wrote an article asking what the relevance was to, in the women's movement to Aboriginal women. Mm-hmm. And that was so important because I think at the time there was a huge gap in understanding of the lives of Aboriginal women and how sexism affected them in sexism and racism oppressed Aboriginal women in a very different way to white women. And she pointed that out and called into question, you know, when you're talking about sisterhood, are you talking about everyone or are you just talking about yourself?
Which is,
so that was really important.
So important. That happened in a lot of the different surrogate movements as well, where it was, you know, initially white women and privileged women, and then it slowly trickled down. And it's important that everyone's included in that. How are you feeling looking at back at the struggles in the 60s, 70s, the changes to being a woman now? Is it, you know, I personally am, I'm so appreciative of it. Did you feel like, well, they really did have a hard time?
Definitely. I can't even imagine. And what really excited me about this time was just how much it exploded and the women got together and just said that, you know, we can imagine a world that is different from this and we're gonna take action to see that it changes. I think today the sexism is not as blatant.
Mm. There certainly is,
and especially like
recently.
Me too. I think you know, 20 years ago there was a lot more complacency, mm-hmm. and these things tend to what's the word? There's an ebb and flow to it. I guess the pendulum swings back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And obviously, like Me Too being another sort of huge movement again. So, and you know, you're in an industry that's very male dominated, and you made sure that every role was performed by a female. Congratulations. And it shouldn't be so such a thing. It should be just a thing that happens. But well, thank you for doing that.
That was very important to me.
Yeah, of course. And did that, how was it working alongside women? And did it become a more of a passionate thing because it is so relative to yourselves? Or it was just a standard documentary, which I don't think so.
Well, you know, sometimes it was hard when we were first starting out. It was really hard for us to find a woman DP in Canberra. And we did hire a man just because we couldn't find one. But you know, once we had the funding and we're fully into production, I was definitely adamant that we hire women because it's much harder to survive in the industry as women. You know, there's not as much encouragement.
Yes.
And you're competing with men. It was easy. It was definitely easy to find talented women to work with, for sure.
Fantastic. And did you, from this experience, have you, and I forgot what I was going to ask you just then, fantastic. Did you happen to see the this week's Four Corners that talked about this continued existence of male privilege in Australia? Mm-hmm. And did that sort of like ring a bell with you given the documentary?
Actually, I was literally just watching it before you called, and I haven't finished watching it, but what really gets me really angry is Alan Tudge campaigning against marriage equality.
Yes.
Because he's saying that, you know, the institution of marriage is sacred when he's
having a
cheating on his wife. I mean, the hypocrisy there just makes me sick.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that it's happening. I'm glad that people are talking about it, for sure. Sexism in Canberra, that is.
I hope that then your documentary is then a positive spin on the things that we can do to help make these changes.
Definitely. It's so hard when things just are taken for granted. It's so hard to stand up and say, I'm no longer accepting this. So what gave the women's movement in the early 70s so much power was that so many women got together at the same time and agreed not to accept it. So, you know, there's a lot of power in solidarity and finding your community to fight the good fight with.
Well, we'll see. Maybe this will be exactly the two things that need to go together, Four Corners and your documentary, and maybe we'll have a little bit of a change coming. One can hope.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine, and congratulations on putting this together, and thank you so much for making it a project of yours.
Thank you. And it's also just been nominated for the AFTA Award for Best Documentary.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, and it's the only film with a female director. So,
I know I'm biased, but I certainly hope that you win.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time today. That was Catherine Dwyer, who's a female director and director of Brazen Hussies, which you can see now at Dindi Palace and Event Cinemas. Please go see it. I'm sure you're going to learn something from it.